Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
If you wanna be my lover, you gotta get with my friends. Make it last forever. Friendship never ends. If you wanna be my lover, you have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is.
Hey, hooray, hooray, Big Smiles, big now photographic opportunities for a Big Smile today. Take that selfie of you with the person you love smiling and then post it someplace where you're looking at. I'm looking at one right now of me. Hopefully you got one of you. It's 34 after the hour. People that I love include Jennifer, Victoria, and I'm not sure about Kara today, but maybe...
Oh, come on!
Didn't you say something earlier about...
I think we need to give
about,
Kara a little more love.
Didn't you say something about leaving things in the past? I seem to remember you saying that earlier. And yeah, right, I seem to be having a little bit of trouble here.
Speaking of that, something that's trending that I'm sure lots of politicians would like to have left in the past. This is a Twitter trend. Congress in the focus of its workload. Really? Republicans and Democrats are fighting about how to avoid yet another government shutdown. Summertime, they're not getting much done. The fiscal year is over, September 30th. And now Congress is going on a seven-week recess until after Labor Day. And then they only have, what are we paying these people for?
That's what I was just thinking. Who else gets seven weeks paid vacation?
Off. They're going to, well, they're all running for re-election. So they're out on the stump, trying to get reelected. And so we're paying them for that. It is pretty outrageous. You're right, Victoria. And so in the meantime, there's a short congressional resolution that they haven't even agreed on yet, I don't think. But they're leaving. Aren't they leaving today or tomorrow or something? So they got to get it done in the next 24 hours.
I thought they just got back, but yeah, I guess so.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, we had 4th of July. It was important for us to be in the districts to walk in all the parades so people
would
see us.
That I actually think is okay. Coming home to be, especially if you're going to be in the community, that's all right. Don't you think?
Well,
but I don't know if that's necessarily time off, coming back to be in the community.
What I find so troubling is that the level of funding of the budget has to go up almost $1 trillion. I got to borrow another trillion. So by the time Obama gets out of town, the debt's going to be almost $20 trillion. When he came to town, it was $14 trillion. The last time I even remember checking, it was $17. All of a sudden, it's $20. And it just keeps going up. So what value is there in the dollar or money or currency or anything? Is print more. We got to have more money, so we'll just borrow it. So now 40-some-odd cents of every dollar that you pay in taxes goes to paying just the interest on that $20 trillion that we'll be indebted to as a country. So at least we have the ability to pay it off sort of at the moment. But we were talking earlier about Italy and Greece and Germany. And the reason the European Union is falling apart is because of all of the debt from these countries that don't know how to say no. They spend money that they don't have. They get in debt and things can't be paid off. Italians owe $400 billion. They don't have $400 billion in the Treasury to pay the notes, pay the debt. So what do? Just cancel it? What does that do to the value of their currency?
Right.
Or, investing in Italy, as far as that's concerned. So I think there's a lot of food for thought there. Maybe you think about that as you think about who you're going to vote for, or do you give it that much thought? Do you even think about what's going on? The whole business about, your children, your grandchildren are going to be paying this debt. Nobody pays any attention to that. They think, okay, well, we're doing all right now, so I know it's going to be okay in the future. Some point, somebody's going to pull the plug, don't you think?
Yeah, it boils down to so much of being responsible for what you take in, what you can put your name on. And I think that... there's a lot of lessons to be learned in this country. I think a lot of people learned them the hard way back in 2007 and 8 everybody was defaulting on their, you learned. I mean, and part of it, they say, the banks try to trick you. Yeah, all that fine print, it's there for a reason. It's there to protect the person that's handing out that money. And, for us to ignore it, which I'm guilty of, I know a lot of us ignore the fine print, but we have to realize that comes back to bite you in the butt.
Well, that was part of what my court case was about yesterday, looking at a lot of fine print, a lot of agreements And you look at that stuff and think, ooh, did I really sign that?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, that's scary.
I know I did. When I refied my house, I mean, I flipped through those documents pretty quick because we're all on the run. And then all of a sudden, you know.
We've been going through the world's highest paid celebrities today in various categories. Number one author in the country, in the world, as a matter of fact, is James Patterson, who made $95 million last year. I know Jennifer was going through all of the books that he's written with me,
he's
and I recognize him.
Yeah,
you know,
he's written. And not only, so he's got the big series like the Women's Murder Club, and then he has the Alex Cross books, which started out as like a, you know, along came especially like the nursery rhyme things.
Right.
And then he's got a lot that he co-authors with people. Nicholas Sparks is pretty famous because of his work with James Patterson. I mean,
really?
There's
Oh, they've worked together?
They've done a lot together. In fact, there was one book that I read, I can't remember where I was coming from, but when I go on vacation, I love James Patterson books because you can read them in a day. Like you read a huge novel. They're just quick and fast and you just get
hooked
into them.
They're a great like beach or airplane book.
Yeah. And there was one book that I read where I was sitting on the plane sobbing. I was so embarrassed. I had tears like mascara running. I was a mess because this book was just heart-wrenching. But most of his books are just juicy, soapy, you know, whodunit mysteries. But he's great. Love him.
It's amazing how prolific he is. Just, it's incredible. It's like the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. They just keep cranking him out, although he's one person.
Well, he's even done kids' books now. I think he's done a few kids' series,
Amazing what the imagination can do. I think some of that is God-given, actually. It's almost like you sit at a typewriter and the stuff just comes out. It's almost like creating music in a manner of speaking. It's 41 past the hour.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. How about an easy, cheap psychological trick that will have your kid begging for a bath? Well, it's tough getting many a kid tubbed and scrubbed, but fortunately, there's a way to get the kid in the tub every day. Here's the developmental science of it. Try theme baths. This is a good way to handle reluctant bathers. You know, you could make a toy fishing pole and let your kid pretend to catch rubber fish, but please, no real hooks. Or how about silly bath nights? Still, one of my favorites. Not only use lots of bubble bath and silly string, but blow bubbles too. And then there's water balloon bath night. What's the cheap psychological trick? Make bathing fun with theme nights, and then as they get into the routine of the bath, the fun bath can turn into just one night a week. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Today on App Check, with Turntable, you're a DJ playing music in a social room of choice. Fun idea, full of bugs. Needs Facebook to work? Turntable struck out.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Think Green. Harrison with you. There are now a whole spate of make-believe nonprofit think tanks posing as environmental stewards. One such example is the Heartland Institute that's published a super slick glossy booklet for politicians and city councils all across the country. It's entitled 10 Principles of Energy Policy and could have been written by the CEO of Exxon himself. The opening preface says their research is far too complex for us, we the people, to be able to understand it all. This particular phony environmentalism, tax-free by the way, says oil companies not only are not greedy, but gas prices are actually quite low.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Do you dream about big success? You should. It helps form your vision. But if you stop there, it's only a fantasy.
Do you talk about your big dreams? Great! It pays to get advice from people who've been there, done that. But if that's all you do, it's just idle conversation.
Do you learn continuously? It's critical in our fast-changing world, but it's not enough.
Do you plan? It's important to have written goals that you review every day.
But dreaming and talking and learning and planning are all a waste if you don't do something.
While everything else is important, taking action is the only way to create the future you want.
Do. It's the secret to big success.
Find big success at biggsuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Doug and Jen and Victoria and that whoever that who's that person that's running the control panel?
That person. Like you people?
Keep saying that, and I've got control of your mic over here.
You should also have a buzz button that you can give him a little jolt of electricity.
Give him a shock to his pink underpants.
Let me ask the engineers how I can get one of those in force.
Okay. All right, so here's the story. This sort of sounds like a story from... There is a story about a sand sculpture of a rather well-endowed mermaid that's sitting in front of a restaurant on the Cape. And so the problem is that some people really, really, really like it, and some people really, 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 really don't like it. Here's the story behind the story of this mermaid.
Is this mermaid a work of art or indecently busty? That deep question has roiled Cape Cod. After a Facebook post of the sand sculpture on the Yarmouth Police Department page was greeted with several complaints and off-color remarks, resulting in the post being removed. The mermaid is one of 41 sculptures at Yarmouth businesses meant to draw in the public. But the top-heavy half-woman, half-fish at Salty's restaurant on Route 28 has become a bit controversial.
Now, Ray, you have yourself a buxom mermaid here that has stirred up some controversy. Do you think it's possible that her breast is too big?
No, I think it goes into what my logo is, and I think that it's covered. It's not nudity. It shouldn't be censored, and... you know, it's a mermaid. We don't even know what mermaids really look like. I've never seen a live mermaid. It's crazy that this has stirred up so much controversy. But I think it's because of its art, and it's been censored, basically, by the, you know, the town and the Yarmouth police. They pulled it down off of their website, and that started everything right there.
Oh my God, we haven't seen one in real life.
My favorite thing about the article I read about this is he was just talking about censorship, and the police chief says, our intent was not to, you know, to censor it, but then the next quote says, he personally thinks the mermaid is fantastic. The police chief really likes this mermaid.
Then we post a picture of it.
We're
going to
post
Twitter.
Pictures of this everywhere. Yeah.
And you can tell us if you're offended by the big busty. I love, do you think your mermaid's too busty? It's like, hey, can you walk up to a woman on the street and be like, ma'am, I'm sorry, you're a little too busty.
Yeah, please go home, change or do something like that. Joining us now is a cosmetic dermatologist. Her name, Dr. Annie Chu, and her focus is you and your legs. All right, so I want Victoria to look at her legs. I want Jennifer to look at her legs. I want Kara to look at her legs. I'm actually looking at my legs. I guess when it comes down to the brass tacks, Dr. Chu, one wonders, I have big calves and big sort of big muscles in my legs. And I wonder if it's the same emphasis for men as it is for women when it comes to keeping your legs good looking. And how do we what do we use as a definition for good looking legs?
Well, I think for women, definitely toned, well shaved, well groomed legs are really important, especially in the summertime when we're rocking short shorts or wearing bathing suits. I think everyone needs to feel confident and healthy in their skin and just have those legs have a beauty routine really for your legs.
All right. So this isn't for men then. We ought to just focus. Let's just put men out of the picture and just focus on women. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think for this particular tip, I would probably do that.
What? Shaving your legs?
This is good for you guys to know what we go through, though.
Well, that's part of it.
You know,
yeah, right, exactly.
Our routines are intense, and you should appreciate
it. It's true. The routines are complex, and you guys need to know how much time it takes to look so great in those legs.
Right.
All right, so let's talk about this from the dermatological point of view, because you are a dermatologist. What are the things that, you know, we think about? For men, think about shaving, it's our face. And what happens when we shave them, sometimes when it's hot, especially in the summertime, I don't know if it's acne that develops. You get pimples and roughness and that sort of thing. Does the same thing befall a woman shaving her underarms or her legs?
Well, actually, a lot of the tips are are applicable to shaving the face or the legs. Mm-hmm. But I think one of the first steps we recommend on the legs is exfoliating the skin. And that works on the face too. You want to do that so that you can get the skin a little bit softer and help to pop the hair up.
How do you do that? What do you use to exfoliate? There are all kinds of cleansers and appliques that you can use. What do you use?
Yeah, I prefer something gentle. You can just use a washcloth with a little exfoliating cleanser, something with like glycolic or lactic acids in it. That's a great way to just exfoliate the leg and get the hairs to pop up so you can get a closer, better
shave. Do you do that, Jennifer? Do you do that, Victoria?
I actually shave, and you can tell me if this is a bad thing to do, but I actually shave with a sugar scrub. So I exfoliate and then shave that off. It's a product that I found from a while ago that I have used religiously because I love how soft I get because it exfoliates and takes the hair off.
Right. So the sugar scrub is great for exfoliating, but the one thing that might not be as good is that sugar scrubs are going to dull your razor. Just because of the fine granules of sugar, it's going to make the razor more dull. So you're probably better off maybe doing that exfoliation and then following it with something like a Skintimid shave gel, which allows you to see exactly where you're shaving, which is nice so you don't miss any slight little problem areas. And it also does things like allow you to get a closer shave and keeps the blade sharp. So that way you don't are not shaving with a dull blade, which is, you know, more likely to lead you to ingrown.
I go through a lot of razors, so that's a good tip. Yeah.
Ingrown hairs. All right, what do you do, Victoria?
I actually shave with conditioner. That's what I use on my legs. And I've
hair conditioner.
I've found that I don't even need to moisturize afterwards. Mm. But I'm sure there's a product that you have that does the same thing, right?
So, well, very, very, very common for people to pick up the body wash or the skin or hair conditioner just for that slip and glide. And it does give you a little bit of glide, but again, because those products aren't formulated specifically for shaving, they build up on the blades. And that actually dulls the razor and clogs the razor. So you're actually going to be more likely to get not as close of a shave. So your shave won't last as long, right? You'll have to shave more often. You'll have to switch out the razors more often, which is kind of a hassle.
Give us a few seconds before we run out of time on what we ought to do. Where do we go for more information about the right way to do it?
You can always go to Skintimid.com for more information. Pick up a little bit of a shaving gel and a nice silky razor, and you will have smooth legs all summer. And
Skintimid.
Yes, exfoliate before.
All right, ladies, there you go. You write it down, Skintimid. That's the info. Dr. Andy Chu, a dermatologist with ideas on how to take care of your legs in the summertime.